Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And we have been gone for several weeks. Tonight it is live. This is March the 22nd in the year 2013. I don't know how we got to spring so fast. The last I remember was when we were doing the premiere in London, and we got back at Christmas Eve.
Right.
What happened to all those months? They just evaporate. Just fly by so quickly. But we are back live now, and here it is, the first day of spring. But here in Arkansas, you know, we're still cold, and we had snow. But anyway, it's time. Everything should be changing now. Okay, we're going to just be talking tonight mostly about what we've been experiencing while we were gone. But if anyone wants to call in, I'll give out the toll-free number. If you want to call in, you're perfectly welcome to do so and ask questions. The toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. And we are glad to be home. We've just been going again. Seems like we're always on an airplane.
Yeah.
These long flights. But since we last talked to you, I did the seminar with Dee Wallace in Sacramento, and that was on creating your own reality.
Right.
And we had a nice crowd for that one.
And that was 65, I think it was? Yeah.
And, you know, it was really good because Dee Wallace is so much fun. And it was all about creating a reality and how you can do it and how easy it is once you figure it out.
Well, and this was pulling in the other, you know, like if you have any patterns set up from past lives and things like that, so you can help break that to create, you know, what you want.
Yeah, if you have things that are holding you back because, well, I just had a client, and he was still being held back by things that happened in his childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, it's time to let it go because it's messed up his life ever since. Now, why do that? You've learned whatever you learned from it, or he didn't learn, just let it go. It's gone. It's in the past. Now move forward. You can't mess up your whole life and let it hold you back from progressing. And too many people do that. Talk about this terrible childhood they had and their bad marriages and they're never going to amount to anything. I've got a dream, but I can't do it. And then they make themselves sick and they say, well, I can't do it now because I'm sick. I've got all these physical problems.
Mm-hmm.
And we know they create the physical problems just to keep them from fulfilling their dream. They've got a good reason not to.
Well, that's partly at sometimes.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But in some of these cases that I've had, it's been that
mm-hmm.
way.
Yeah. It gives them an excuse. But also they created the situation, the first situation as well, to learn from and to overcome and to whatever, to develop skills, to develop, you know, to mainly to learn from and to experience. And then if they're still dragging it along, well, then that's where they didn't quite do what they meant to accomplish.
That's what I always call, say you're carrying all this baggage and garbage around with you, dragging it around, all the junk you carry around on your back, and that's what makes you sick. But if you've learned from it, or even if you haven't, it's time to move on, let it go. And then you have plenty of time to pursue your dreams. And, of course, you know, this man was saying, but what if I fail? What if I fail? I said, so what?
What if you don't?
I said,
that's what we do.
I said, you'll fail if you don't try.
Right. Well, and that's why they just don't try, because that's the vicious cycle. If I don't try, then I'll never know.
Yeah.
So
you'll never know.
I'll never fail. But what if you don't? You might actually succeed.
Because, you know, if you don't try, well, then you'll never know what you could have accomplished.
Right.
So a lot of people, it's just easier just to not do anything at all.
Right.
Than say everything else is the cause of it. It's always blame it on your childhood, blame it on your upbringing, blame it on your boss, blame it on your wife or husband, mm-hmm. instead of just saying, hey, enough of that. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to follow my dream.
Well, and part of that is because over the time, if something would have been done early on, you know, when it first happened, when it first came on that you wanted to do that, if you would just start following it, you would start learning it's just one foot in front of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Where now it's like so much time that you build this, it into this huge obstacle for yourself, and it's just all these this pressure on it to be perfect and to be exact and to be, you know, so then it's like, oh, you're afraid to even start, and because of everything that might happen. And if you just start doing something, you will start finding out. Then you can get into that mode of just one foot in front of the other. Just start moving in that direction. Just do something. And each step will get easier. You'll start seeing things happening. And just don't let it, just if that big bad monster keeps bringing its head up, just go, okay, that's fine, thank you. And then just put another foot in front of the other and just keep walking, taking those moves, rather than thinking of the whole big thing down the road. Just do one little step at a time, and you'll start seeing it'll actually start happening for you. Mm-hmm. So,
because it does take action. That's what we were saying in the seminar. You can have anything you want. The universe, it's their job mm-hmm. to provide you with anything that you want. That's their job. But first, they got to know what you want. And in order to do that, you got to know what you want.
Yeah, you have to put your order in. I love the analogy of, I've heard this several times before, and I've always liked it, where you go into a restaurant, and you just say, give me some food, and they say, what do you want? You know, I don't care, whatever you know, what do you want me to have? That kind of a thing, you know, or just give me what you have. Then they bring it out, well, I don't like that, that's not what I want. Well, you know, you don't do that. Nobody does that. They know what they want when they go in a restaurant. In fact, many of us know what we want very specifically. I want a hamburger with lettuce and tomato with a mustard, a little bit of mustard, a little bit of ketchup, things like that. We know very
well
specifically.
Well done.
Exactly. We know exactly how we want that burger done. We know exactly what we want on it, what we want with it, what we want. That's how you do it. Do the same way with your life. You know, I want this, and I want it this way, you know, pretty. Then don't sit there and try to determine exactly how it will come to you, because that's the next step. But
yeah, but that's a lot of people, they'll say, I just know I want a change. I want out of my circumstance. Mm-hmm. But
you may not like what you get.
Yeah, because you're going. The universe doesn't know. It'll
yeah.
give you something and
yeah.
say, well, maybe this is what they want. And they'll say, that's not what
that's
I wanted.
Right. But it'll be different.
Yeah, it will be different.
Everything you ask for is given.
Yeah.
It is given. It just is. So
it's the
look
law
around
of the,
you.
The law of the universe.
If you don't like what you've got around you, you have to know that you did that. You created it. Whether it was unconsciously or consciously, you asked for it in some way. So you got to look at that. And if you're that powerful, look at it. You don't like it, well, then you know, I created that, so then I can create something else. But now I'll do it consciously. I'll create what I want.
Mm-hmm. That's how we've done.
Absolutely.
And we found it works. And they keep talking about it being a secret. It's really not, once you understand it. It's
not a secret. I think the only thing is that not everybody knows the universal laws.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the only secret.
Yeah, because there are certain laws of the universe that apply. Once you understand them, and you can just have it. You can have anything you want. They said there are no limitations at all, except the limitations you put upon yourself.
Right.
So anything you want, you can have, but you got to know what you want.
Right.
I like the way you see them, you know, the guides and guardian angels and things, shaking their heads and saying, well, why don't they be specific here? Maybe this is what they want. They're doing their best to please you, so you can't blame them. But it was an interesting 2 days in Sacramento as we went over all of this. Because once you figure out, that's what we were talking about, you have to be able to see it in detail. whatever you want, you have to see it done. It's already accomplished. It's done.
Yeah, you always see the end objective.
The end goal, the end result.
Right.
And then people say, okay, but now I got to do this, this, and this to get it. Oh, no, you don't. Because then you limit them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll say, well, that's the only way they can do it, is the way you're putting out there.
Right. Yeah, you have to, you know the end objective, what it is you want to accomplish, and then you release it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, you are not attached to the outcome. If you're hanging on to that outcome, and you're peeking in on it every couple of days, okay, what's happening now, what's happening now, what's happening now, that will mess up the creation process. You just, this is what I want, and you let it go, and you let the universe have at it. And
then you go on about your life, mm-hmm. but you have to have action.
Yeah, well, you'll be given things to do, you know, and you do. You take action on it, but you don't get attached to that outcome, because that's meaning, like, I have to do this, this, and this, and this to get there and stuff. You just let it go and do whatever comes in that you are to do.
Because we've found it will happen in ways that you would never, ever expect. You could never plan the ways it happens. It just happens real surprising. But mm-hmm. When we need something, I say, okay, guys, here's the next project. Do it. It's in your hands. Mm-hmm. And then we sit back and watch the magic. And it really is magic, because the way they do it, you could never, ever have planned it that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'll always be something very unexpected.
It's beautiful.
Well, because it doesn't do a direct line.
Mm-hmm.
It never does. It does a zigzag thing. It goes around loop-de-loop sometimes. So,
well, they said before, it's in my books too, if what you're wanting to create is complicated, it's going to have to go through a lot of different people
mm-hmm.
to get the end result. But once you start it, then...
And sometimes there's a time element involved. It has to wait for all the things to get into place and make it that work.
The right people, the right circumstances have to all work together
mm-hmm.
to come up with the final results. And then I've heard of stories, too, when people say they want something, a certain job or something, and then they go on about their business, and they give up, and they go and get something else. Well, then that job pops up for them.
Because they released it.
Yeah, and then they'll say, well, wait a minute, too late now. I've already taken this other one. It's kind of hard to get it back once you send it out.
Well, you just have to, you know, in that situation, then that person had that option. What do I do now? The job came up, so.
Yeah. Hmm. But it's so easy to do this, and this is what you're here for, this school we called Earth. Everything is energy. And they said the most important lesson you can learn in the Earth school is how to manipulate energy. That sounds complicated, but what does it mean to be able to manipulate energy? It means to create. You have to learn how to create using the energy to create. And that's the biggest lesson you have to learn. Once you do that, you can have anything.
That's right.
So that's what we're trying to teach people anyway. And in that seminar, we were talking about the blocks and things that hold them back and how you can get rid of all of that. Release it, because you don't need it. Let it go so you can have what you want.
Right.
Without all the junk and the garbage and the baggage holding you back. Well, that was interesting anyway. And then from there, we went to the UFO conference. It's now in Arizona, out near Scottsdale, Arizona. This is the same UFO conference that Bob Brown put on for 20 years. In Laughlin, Nevada, and I know a lot of people went there. I spoke there many, many times over the years. Bob Brown's a very good friend of ours, but he eventually sold it. And a lot of people liked going to Laughlin because it was like old home week. We never went to the gambling, but it was everybody really liked it. So he sold it, and the man who bought it, John Roa, moved it to Scottsdale, Arizona. And it's quite a different environment, even though Laughlin is in the desert, too.
Mm-hmm. But Laughlin, you were more in the it was a city. And so you had other things around. This was a resort. So you were out.
In the middle of nowhere.
Right.
That was one of the differences. It is a desert, but it's the middle of nowhere. Very nice place, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't stay for the whole conference. We were just going from place to place in this. So I just went in to do my talk, and then we had to leave the next day. But there were lots of old friends there, people we've known for all the years we've been doing this. Now, that conference is the largest. He's saying it's the largest in the world.
I don't know.
They think it's at least the largest in the United
yeah.
States.
Mm-hmm.
They had about 800 people.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to gauge the audience. I looked at that audience the one time. It was pretty full in that room. I don't know how many seats they had, though.
But they say theirs is the largest. Now, the ones that I have inherited here in Eureka Springs, the Ozark UFO Conference, that one is the oldest. I think this last one in Arizona was 22 years,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to the 26th year this
right.
year. So ours is the oldest, the longest continually running, and the one in, I keep wanting to say Bob Brown's.
Yeah.
It's hard to let that go.
Right, right.
But that one is the largest. But I think we're gaining on them.
Yeah, they are. It's looking like it.
But they had a lot of speakers that I know, because when you're on this lecture circuit, you see the same people all the time over all these years. Of course, a lot of the pioneers, the ones that started all of this, are all beginning to die off.
Right.
One of the problems.
Yeah.
I'm still hanging in there. We know Bud Hopkins died a few years ago, and then we had Wendell Stevens died. And there were some more that have been pioneers. Sitchin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Zachariah Sitchin died also. And there are some that came that are older, and they're not looking well. So I don't know. It looks like all of the ones back in those days, you know, that started out, are all things are happening to them. But yet, there's a lot of the old ones that are still in there, and they're still going and doing their research. But time marches on. 25 years or something, you know, that's a long time. We were going when the UFO phenomena was just beginning in the 1980s, when all of this started out. We just got to bring in new blood, I guess, and
mm-hmm.
keep it going.
Yep. Well, it's all shifting.
Yeah, everything is shifting. Mm-hmm. That's one thing we're finding, too, as we're lecturing all over the world. People are getting this now. They're all saying they're feeling the difference. They're feeling the shift. People kept saying, when is it going to happen? And we're in the middle of it now.
Yeah. Well, you just have to. I'm seeing emails or posts on things, too, that how to tell them, how to look, how to feel it, how to see it, things like that. So that's nice, because
yeah.
they're coming from other sources than anybody related to us. So that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Because we used to get emails, when's it going to happen?
Yeah.
And, you know, when we were in London on the December 21st, it seems like that did turn a corner.
It was after it that you noticed it. I noticed
yeah.
it. You know, you could just tell something was different. And it's nothing dramatic. It's just something you just have to be open to feel it. And then if you just look with different eyes and sense with different sensors, and you can tell it. You just have to shift yourself a little bit.
And it is subtle. It's slow.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of underneath the surface. But even when we were in China last year, they were telling us they could feel, the ones in the class, they could feel something was different. So it's happening. I don't know, care what people are saying.
Just turn the TV off, because if you watch the TV, it'll tell you nothing's happening but the same old doom and gloom, and it'll just keep you wound up in that. So you have to turn that kind of stuff off to be able to notice it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have it on blaring at you, taking all of your attention, you won't see it. All you're going to see is what they want you to see.
Yeah. Because we can pick it, we can sense it. Well, then we travel so much, too. We're around so many different people all over the world. Maybe we're more open to it. But I could only stay for the one day when I did my talk, and then we had to leave because we had to get back because I had to go to Turkey, to Istanbul. Our first time to go to Istanbul.
Your first time.
Well, tell about yours. Your first, that was what, 26 years ago?
27 years ago.
You tell about your time, because that it's big change since then. Go
big,
ahead.
Big change. I was married at that time to, my husband was from Iran, and we had a 2-year-old daughter, and we were going to meet his family. They lived in Iran, but they could only come out, they could only get visas to go to Istanbul or to China. Those are the only two places. And we couldn't go into Iran. And I definitely didn't want to, at that time. So we went and met with them. And I think we stayed there for about a week. And so here we have, his family speaks no English. I speak no Farsi. And we're in a foreign country that speaks a little English. Every day we're in the hotel rooms, and it was much more modern this time. But that time, you didn't have the Western toilets. You did in the hotel, but not anywhere in the public areas. And everything was just foreign, and I was constantly bombarded with foreign language, a language I didn't understand with them as well as the country. Yeah, it was all very different from this. This was very nice when we went this time. It was very nice. So, it was quite an experience. And then we go back now, and we did go back to the bazaar, which I went on that trip to the Grand Bazaar to do shopping. So that was nice that I recognized that. It was the same place.
Same place. So that's still there then.
Same place. Mm-hmm.
But Hakton invited me over there. He is, I met him at the UFO conference with Bob Brown. He came many years in a row. And he has the only UFO museum in Europe. And he's very much involved in UFOs and the research. And he has an organization over there that does the research, and he puts on conferences. And so I've known him anyway, but he asked me to come. But it wasn't a conference, it was just me, and that put a lot of pressure on me.
2 days of Dolores. Two days of Dolores.
I just had to speak, just me speaking solid for 2 days.
I spoke a little at the end.
Yeah, I said, please relieve me here. Come in here and take the pressure off of me. But we had about 120 people.
Yeah.
Good crowd. But I talked about everything that I could think of in my work. We covered a lot of material. And we had to do it with a translator, so it always takes longer when you do that. But I found Istanbul to be beautiful. It was a very nice country.
It was. I was pleasantly surprised. I was very surprised. It's the only thing with all these cities is how... I don't understand how or why people stack themselves on top of each other. I mean, the houses were just so pressed, and I just don't know how they can do that. But that's the only issue I have.
But we see that everywhere.
And all the cities. I said it's my issue with all the cities.
Big
cities. How
they do that. Mm-hmm. Well, they're the same way as they are in Russia. They live in apartments, and they're all. They're not houses. They're all stacked up in these apartments.
Right, and because this is hills. I mean, they're just really in there, up the hills, and like they're just like they're on top of each other, and they're all different colors, so it's really multicolored I'm sure from the air it's very artistic looking.
But then, you know, we go to these places, you have all the people. This one had 21 million people.
21 million in the city. Uh-huh.
In Istanbul. Yeah. And you have all those people, and then you have all the traffic.
Right.
And in Istanbul, the streets are very narrow. Mm-hmm. They were only just one car wide. And they told us that they're tearing a bunch of the old apartments down, and they're going to build shopping centers and things like that. But what are they going to do with the cars? They're not addressing that. They said, you know, they're not going to waste the land to put in parking lots. And what are the people going to do with the cars?
That's a dilemma.
So they said they'd rather build it on buildings instead of building it on streets and highways. So we did have some four lanes when we got out of the middle mm-hmm. part, but otherwise you're driving down a one-lane street, people and everything all around you, and I don't know, well, you couldn't have turned around anywhere. You just have to keep going down this real narrow...
Well, and that's what they had to do. When they dropped us off and they were going to come pick us up, they had to go around the block and come back again. They couldn't go anywhere and stop. They couldn't turn around. They couldn't do anything like that.
And nobody can come from the other direction. It's just like everything is one-way streets. And they said that's the way it's always been there. And they said, we need to widen your streets. No, we can't do that because we need the land for the buildings.
Yeah, they said the buildings produce money.
So. Yeah, the parking lots don't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There were some auto parks. Where, you know, like we have the buildings and they park in them. But we had one we went into, it went down about four levels down. But you got to park your car, then you got to walk to wherever it is you want to go.
Right. That's how it is in most cities, though.
Yeah. So that's the only thing. Otherwise, it was beautiful. We said they needed more trees.
Right. Once we got out of the city, they did have more trees and they had more green and everything. But that's the one thing. It's like, I don't understand why people do. That's what I meant. They just put all these houses in and there's no nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they forget that, or they just chop everything down and build houses. So,
well, Moscow is kind of like that too.
Exactly.
Well, Hong Kong is one of the worst mm-hmm. that's like that. But, which is right on the water. It's on the Bosphorus. And then that Bosphorus goes into the Black Sea. Mm-hmm. But one thing we noticed about Istanbul when we got in there, all you can see is mosques and minarets.
Well, there are a lot of them. It's not all you can see, but there's a lot of them.
In between all of these houses.
All of these apartments.
crowded apartments.
Crowded apartments, uh-huh. Yeah.
And they're big, they're beautiful mosques, and we didn't go into any of them, but we've seen pictures of them, and they're beautiful on the inside. And, of course, we found out it is a Muslim country. That's why there's so many mosques. Mm-hmm. And our students, the ones who were talking to us, we've met some very wonderful people over there.
Right.
And they said they're all Muslim, mm-hmm. but they just don't, a lot of them don't practice, just like in the United States. Because we saw many people on the streets wearing the head coverings like they were in the United States when some of them are here. So there was a lot of that, but there were just very few that covered their entire face, mostly just covering their heads. So there must be different levels of it.
Just like there are here.
Yeah. Then you have the majority, according to these people we met, that don't go with any of that. But they're supposed to be Muslim. Anyway, here in the States, we build up this fear against the Muslims, the fear of all these things with the war and the terrorists and everything. We didn't see any of that. It was just people.
Yeah, and I even asked them, because we had like three different people ask us before we left if we weren't afraid of going over there, something because of things going on. And we know that if it's something's not okay, if it's not safe, we won't be allowed to leave. And so we know if we're able to go, it's safe. Everything's fine. And we're always safe.
We're always taken care of.
And absolutely.
I was told in my work, if you're not supposed to go somewhere, we won't even allow you to go out the front door.
Right. So I asked these people, I said, so is there anything going on over here? And they said, nothing more than normal. It's pretty much status quo. So here, see, we had all these people concerned that we were going into this hostile territory. It's fine. It was just the way it's always been. And it's nothing hostile. So that's where we keep saying, travel.
Don't believe what their propaganda.
Exactly. Make up your own mind, take your own chances, make your own steps, and know that you're always safe, and you will be.
Because it's the same thing. We went to China. It wasn't at all the way we've been led to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Russia, none of those places have been like that.
Right.
And Istanbul was the same way. It was just a large city with a lot of people. And they put us in a wonderful hotel. It was a brand new hotel, 5-star hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Instead of a room, we got an apartment. So we had plenty of room, and it was just beautiful. And we were taken care of like royalty.
Yeah.
So what in the world was there to be afraid of?
Yeah, it felt very familiar. I don't know if it was because from being there before or if it was just, I don't know, it just was pleasant. It's funny how some of these countries just do not feel foreign. So, especially with, how some of the places we go here in the United States, you really can't tell anymore. There's such a mixture everywhere. A lot of these cities, because they do speak English and everything, it's just like, so I have to keep reminding myself if I'm in America or if I'm not, because the world is getting that small for me.
And all intermingled. Maybe that's because we travel so much. After it all while, it all blurs together.
It does.
They talk about the global community, the world community, but they're always talking about really what it is. It is just a world community.
Mm-hmm.
But, I always want to ask questions when I'm somewhere, and I always want to know about the poor, do they have the homeless, and stuff like that. Every country I go to, I want to know how those are the elderly taken care of. Well, in Turkey, they said they don't have very little homeless people at all.
Right, because they tend to just take care of everybody. They take care of their own. So.
Yeah. They said, we don't have near the homeless you have in the state.
Right.
Because the families do take care of each other. Just like in China, they all take care of their own families. So they don't have that, and it's the same with the poor. They're all taken care of by each other. And so, I don't know, I think we could learn a lot from a lot of these countries.
Right.
But we won't as long as we're putting them down and saying they're poor and they're evil. They're out to get us. They're out to hurt us. And
right.
We haven't found that anywhere.
No. But we're not looking for it either.
No, we're not. But we had the 2-day seminar, and then we had 2 days they wanted us to stay so they could show us Istanbul and go to shopping. We love to go shopping in one of these foreign countries. So they showed us the city, and then we went to the bazaar. And those bazaars are crazy everywhere you go.
Yeah, and this is the Grand Bazaar. And we only went into it a little ways. Who knows how big it actually was.
Well, there was a lot of little...
You could have been there for days.
Aisles. That's what they said. There are little aisles going down with all kinds of shops and things.
Mm-hmm.
We like to go and bring back things for the family. And strange and different kind of things. But then the next day was really nice. They took us on a boat ride into the Bosphorus. That's like it's not a sea, it's like a river, I guess. It's a body of water.
It's not a river.
But it goes into the Black Sea eventually. Now, Turkey is the only, Istanbul is the only city that's divided, because Turkey is in Europe and in Asia. It's right on the border of Europe and Asia. So part of Istanbul is in Europe, and the other part on the other side of the river are the Bosphorus.
The water.
The water.
Yeah.
The other side of it is Asia. And we didn't get to that side.
No, we didn't physically touch that side, but the boat went all around.
We could see it. But they said, next time you come, we'll take you to the Asian side, and you can see what that looks like.
Because they have wide streets there.
That's one of the difference. They said wide streets. Probably have more trees, too.
Probably.
But as we were doing the boat ride all around there, it was just beautiful. And pointing out all the different mosques. And
palaces. There was the baby palace and the middle palace and the papa palace. palaces. So,
it belonged to the earlier...
Yeah, the Ottoman Empire and stuff like that.
Yeah, because they set up... But we saw lots of buildings that went back to the 1400s.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing was interesting with the hammam. The hammam, the bath, the Turkish bath.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do that, but they were saying you go into the Turkish baths that are called the hammam, and they bathe you. I mean, literally, they have several people are doing it, and they bathe you completely. They wash your hair. And you just sit there and enjoy it. I guess it's in like a, what, like a...
I don't know.
We didn't go in. But they said they just give you a rub down. They pull all your muscles and like a massage in a bath, too. So I said, well, the men and women together? And they said, no, they have the women on one side and the men on the other. But that's what a Turkish bath is, I guess. I've always heard that.
Mm-hmm.
But Julia loves massages. So you got a Turkish massage.
No, it was a no, it wasn't a Turkish massage. I got a massage. And they asked me which kind. Well, I recognized the Bali one. So that's what I got. Had acupressure and stuff like that.
Because they said when they give the massages, they like to pull your muscles.
Well, this was with deep tissue.
But that was interesting. And some of those places in the city, they had signs on them when they went back to 1400s. Back to the days of the harems and all of that and the Ottoman Empire. But anyway, it was nice to just go around the Bosphorus in the boat and see all of the palaces and all of the
history.
The history that was there. I was just trying to remember what all it was. But we was out there for a couple of hours anyway.
Right.
Just showing us their city.
It was very nice.
So, see, we did all... anybody wants to call in, feel free to do it, because we're just talking. I'm just trying to think what next. But I am going back to Turkey, because they want me to come back. They're having a UFO conference over there in November. I'll be returning for that.
That'll be the 9th and 10th of November.
That's a big conference. He has it in the largest, it's like a, what do you want to call it? They have ballet there. It's a huge theater. The largest place in Istanbul. They're going to have the conference. And the people from all over Europe come to that. So I'm going back there in November.
And then we'll be going back February, March, somewhere in there to do a class over there.
Yeah, because everybody, once we started talking about the classes, everybody said, I want to come. And we're doing the online classes now to take the load off of me.
Yeah, they have started, and I think about 70 to 80 people have now gone through it. So that's fantastic, because they've just been going for a few weeks.
But the idea was to take the load off of me because I'm going to all these countries and having these classes, and the classes are big, but I can just do so much.
Right.
And more countries keep wanting us to come, and I'm just one person. So that was the idea behind the online classes, mm-hmm. to take the load off of me.
Right. Let the internet work for you. Let the computer and the internet work for you.
It was an actual videoing of...
It was actual class.
An actual mm-hmm. class about a year or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And was the whole thing was videoed. And so we're using that. And then we have tests at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So people have to take that test to make sure they really watch the whole thing.
Right.
And he said, what is it? They can take about a week or 2 weeks?
They're allowed to, yeah, they have up to 2 weeks to watch all the videos and to watch the whole thing. It's a 3-day class, but that way you can take it at your own pace, as fast or as slow as you want.
What is it, 11 videos? Or?
There's like 14 videos.
14 videos.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they can just watch it as they want.
Mm-hmm.
They have to stop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not like sitting there in a class all day when we're doing a live class.
Right.
And then they take the test at the end. But people have been emailing us and said it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're already starting to practice, and it's working.
And it's... Well, we even have some of them that signed up, I noticed last week, from India. They're signing up from all over the world.
Yeah, I noticed some from, we had, I just went blank. Where was it? It was something, yes, just a second.
Okay, well, one thing, that was very fascinating. We were in Turkey, we got an email. Is that the one you mean?
No, that's not what I was talking about.
Okay, well, I'll get back to that then.
I'm going to take this caller.
Okay, we got a caller there. Hello.
Hi, this is Sebastian from New Zealand. How are you two?
Oh, New Zealand, one of our favorite places.
Mine too. Nice to hear you, boy. Hey, I have a question around the online platform that you just launched.
Okay.
I did a course a while ago in Arkansas, actually, I think it was in April. And I do feel that I would like to go through that course again. I know I got a lot of material from that course, but I guess there are particular things that that questions that come up that I think that are not covered in the material I got. And I was wondering whether it would be a good idea to use it as a refresher.
Yeah,
you can. Several people do. You know, they'll go back and take it again.
Wonderful. I think okay. I will look into that.
If you want to take it again, you just pay half for the class.
Wonderful. You're not planning to come to the Southern Hemisphere this year, do you?
We're in Australia. Mm-hmm. We're planning to be there in probably early December.
Oh, exciting. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I might take that as a different option.
Yeah.
That's great.
Sydney.
It'll be in Sydney.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That would be perfect. Best ever news. Wonderful.
Yeah, we're just the whole year we're trying to put together now, and we know we're going back to Turkey and Dubai.
Yeah.
No, that's September.
That's in next year.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be, you're going to do the Turkey, the UFO conference, then we're going to do China, Japan, Taiwan, and then go down to Sydney. So...
But that's going to take about a month because each class takes about a week. So we're thinking we'll probably be into Australia maybe by the 1st of December.
Right. Have you done the level 2 class yet?
No, I haven't yet. Are you putting that on in Sydney as well?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I think that would be probably quite helpful. I have a lot of friends who are in the left side of their brain quite a bit.
Yeah. We've changed it a little bit, so it's even better. The level 2 class is just really, really good. So it's
awesome.
Really fine-tuned a lot of the stuff that you're doing. So
yeah, a lot of the skills of the whole method were working all that out. And the last ones we've gave about 2 this year. Or just one this year.
One
okay,
so far.
We've got another one coming up.
Right.
And they said they really liked it because we focused on the problems and the individual skills needed for this. So I think it would be valuable if you want to just take level two in Sydney.
Terrific.
Uh-huh.
Well, thank you so much, both of you. Thank you, Julie, for sending through your new book. It's amazing. I think.
Oh, thank you. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit.
Amazing being. We're really blessed to know you, and thank you so much. Hope to be in touch soon. Have the best day ever. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too.
And if you want to take the refresher course, just contact the office,
Shonda.
And you get the half price if you've already taken it before. Uh-huh. Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. We have, it looks like November, that is going to really be full.
Yeah, it'll go, actually, it's going to be about 5 weeks, I think.
Because we didn't know if we could even get Turkey in, but he wants to do the UFO conference. Then we go to Beijing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because we're just going to one city in China this year.
Yes.
In Beijing, and then to Taiwan, Japan first.
I think so. Japan, wait, that's all, it's not set completely out yet, but it looks like Japan, then, no, it's going to be Taiwan, then Japan, because then we could fly from Japan to Sydney.
Yeah, wherever they are in that part of the world.
Right.
Because I spoke in Taiwan, in Taipei, this last November, and they said, please come back and give a class. So we're going to do one there, and then they want us to come to Japan. But usually when we go to Australia, we do many cities in Australia, but this time we're just going to do the one class.
Well, it's part of this cutting back. We have to. That's all. Otherwise, there's no time to go to a lot of cities in all these places. We have to, you know, there just isn't that kind of time. Mm-hmm. So,
and everybody wants us to come to their country.
Right.
Well, I was going to say a few minutes ago, we were in Turkey, we got an email, I couldn't believe it, from Mongolia. And I was thinking, Mongolia? Talk about the ends of the world, the ends of the earth. That's really reaching the four corners of the planet.
Right.
And it was somebody who works with a cancer hospital in Mongolia. And he pounded me on the internet. Mm-hmm.
But that shows you how far-reaching all of this is, the internet is, everything is. So.
Yeah, it was amazing. I just, Mongolia, my gosh, you know. And he wanted us to come there and teach just a very few people. And I said, well, we can't do that. Right. The only possibility was to link it on to Turkey, Japan, I mean, China, Japan, and all that. And, no, it's just impossible, and that's what Julie was saying. This is why we're doing the online class.
Right.
That they can learn there.
Mm-hmm.
Or this man, me in Mongolia, can come to the Beijing class.
Right.
I think that's what he's agreed to do.
Yeah.
So we have to do something. I can't keep mm-hmm. splitting myself up in all these little pieces and going to so many countries.
Right, but it is exciting to see the people. It's exactly why we created the online class. People are coming in from these countries that it's wonderful, you know.
Because many of them can't travel.
Right, and that's why it's created.
Even when we're in Europe, we were, like last year, we were 3 months over there, a different country every week giving a class. Now, we're still going to go back to England, give a class there every year. And
right.
then we said, anybody in Europe is going to have to come to England, because here again, I can't just keep going to all these places.
Right.
So we're going to do the class where we always do it in Faringdon, which is by Oxford. And I think that class is filling up, too.
Right.
But eventually, it'll all be switched over to the online. Most of it. We won't be...
You'll still be doing some live classes, but yeah, it'll be... We'll gradually pull it back, you know, so that... And let the internet do its job. I mean, that's what it's there
yeah.
for, so it can reach everybody. And then what we'll be doing is just live level 2 classes.
Yeah, those level 2...
Live.
We find the level 2 is going to have to be live. They're going to have to come there, because it's very individual-oriented. And we work with each one on their problem.
Right.
So we can't very well do that online.
Well, there may be a way to do that later down the road. Right now, we're not there yet.
Maybe Skype, but mm-hmm. yeah, right now, that's the only thing we're going to have live. Now, September, we're going to be in South America. That's just forming, too.
Right.
Mexico and down into South America. We know Argentina.
Yeah, and possibly Brazil.
Mm-hmm. So, some of these places, we haven't done any classes there yet. So there's some things we're still traveling. And then we got these two conferences.
Right.
Oh, we also have, when is it the cruise?
The Panama Canal cruise. We're doing a level one class on that. We thought we'd try that out first time. That's in October. And very excited about that because that was something you've been wanting to do, just take a cruise on the Panama Canal. And then we thought, well, let's see if we can, because the last cruise that we had like a little conference on there. And
that
it was
the Mediterranean.
Just a few workshops. And everybody that was on it just kept saying, well, I wish we could have something every day because they so enjoyed it. And they love being around all these like-minded people. And so then we thought, well, I wonder if there's a way to do something, you know, where it's more days. And we thought, well, maybe we could try it with a class. And we had to find a cruise that had enough sea days so that we could do the days of the class. And we did. It's a two-week cruise.
So we thought maybe some people might want to have both a class and a vacation at the same time.
Right.
And it's going to go through the Panama Canal. There'll be stops in Mexico as it goes through. I think it starts on the East Coast and ends up on the West Coast after it goes through the canal.
No, the other way. West Coast
other way
ends
around?
Up on the East Coast. And it'll has all these stops, all, you know, Mexico and then South America. It just goes all the way.
And through the canal. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to just go through the canal. We've taken many cruises. Why not do something different? But people are signing up for that already.
Right.
And if you want to take a vacation and a class, if you got 2 weeks, that would be perfect.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're still doing a lot.
Right.
Plus also doing conferences.
And a heads up, we do have our the UFO conference that's coming just around the corner a few weeks from now is filling up very quickly. It's probably going to be sold out. So if you're thinking about coming, go ahead and get your tickets. we're already it's pre-registered more than they've ever had pre-registered before. So it could very well be sold out.
And all the hotels are full around there, right around the convention center. The hotels and the rooms, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, which is our backyard.
Right.
And I inherited that, and we've been doing it now 26 years. So, like she said, if you want to come, you better get your foot in the door.
Right. And then a heads up about our transformation conference. That's coming up July 19th to the 21st. It's not really being advertised yet because we have a new Ozark website coming out the end of this month, and that's when that page for that will all be done. I can't get anything out sooner than that. You know, anybody, any webmasters out there, you understand. it's got to go when it's time. So that's why there's not much news out there about it yet. But those are the dates. They are confirmed. It will be in the Springdale, the Holiday Inn Convention Center in Springdale,
Arkansas.
So that way you at least know that much, and we'll be getting the information out very soon.
Because people are emailing saying they want to sign up and they want more information.
Okay.
That's the one where we focus on our authors.
Right.
We also have a keynote of, this is William Henry.
Yes.
And he's an excellent speaker with tons of information.
He has so much information, he's going to speak for two nights.
Uh-huh. And you're in the metaphysical world, you probably know who he is. And then the other ones will be our authors, and we've got some very exciting authors.
Right.
There's going to be a lot about Lemuria at this conference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you can see why time flies for us, because we're just going from one thing to the other.
That's right. And as that wonderfully nice man from New Zealand said, I had that segue there. My book just came out. It came out the end of January.
Uh-huh.
Called Soul Speak, the Language of Your Body. And So it's just now getting to everybody. We had a lot of pre-orders for it, and so they, and I thank you so much, everybody, for that vote of confidence and your trust in me. But it's wonderful. I'm so appreciative of the feedback I've been getting. I was so nervous about writing. It was like, you know, what if I had the same stuff? What if it's not any good? What if this? What if that? What if I fail? What if I, you know, the whole thing?
Same things we were talking about in the beginning.
Exactly. And that's where I was coming from, was that was the stuff that was holding me back. I was allowing to hold me back. That was that. And I was resisting it. I had all kinds of stuff I was working with. And then finally, I got the message about a year ago, and it said, if you don't do this, we're going to give it to someone else. And so that's when I thought, oh, I better, because I know how they do. So I thought, okay, it's time to do this. So that's when I just started doing something. I just started doing something and putting one foot in front of another, and then all of a sudden it just started coming together. It really was surprising. I kept expecting something magical to happen. Well, no, that doesn't happen. You do have to do the work.
Hard work. Hard work.
It is. And it takes time, and you just have to keep doing, but you just keep doing something. And then it was out, and then it's like starting to go out to people, and I was so nervous about the feedback I would get. And I kept thinking, oh, what if they don't like it? What if they don't like it? And then they came in really strong, and they said, how about let's look at it as, did you, they just asked me, they outright asked me, they said, what do you want people to know? What do you want people to get out of this? What do you want? And so I was like, I think I put everything in there that I want people to know. And when I shifted to that point, that's when the feedback started coming in, and it's been fantastic. So, and they're just like, this is exactly what I needed. That's exactly, mm-hmm. You know, so it's wonderful. And it's, and that's what, and that's really where I came from when I wrote it, was what do I want people to know?
Okay, because we'll be talking more about the book, but the classes we talked about the symptoms of the body and what they mean, and that's what the book is about.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're telling us we're going to have to wind up. So thanks for another nice evening, and we're going to be live next week also. We're home for a few weeks,
right?
All through the conference. So good night, everyone, and thanks for listening.
Make it great.